If you need a t-shirt, give a pint of blood next week. Does it work also? If you need a pint of blood, you can bring a t-shirt? Yeah, all right. It'd be a fair trade then. Yeah. Several times now as I get my things together in the morning to go off to the gym, I've noticed I don't have my lock. And I look all around for it, and inevitably when I get to the gym, I find that it's on the locker that I last used. And I will breathe a little prayer of thanksgiving to the kind soul that locked the lock so that I could find it again. And I thank God for that. Usually, if you leave one overnight, they sometimes cut it off and throw it away. So I thank God for all those good people that were involved. But the last time that happened, I noticed that the lock was put in the exact position I put it in whenever I leave it locked. I always have a default 888. That's my before I go that way, nobody knows what your combination is and so on. Just 888. And I thought, well, how curious. The fella not only locked it on my locker, but he also put the tumblers to exactly where I would have put them. And then it dawned on me what I had done I hadn't paid attention while I was going through my routine. And I'm the dummy that locked the locker back on the lock back on the locker and then went on my way. Here I was responsible for my own irresponsibility. Now, what if among all our other responsibilities, God has given us one that contributes to the health of our nation, its freedom, righteousness, justice, and security, and conversely, by neglecting that responsibility, we threaten all of those good things that we enjoy, freedom, righteousness, justice, and security. What if they are destroyed due to our lack of focus? How accountable should we be held for not manning our position on the wall, allowing the enemy to come in? We've enjoyed all the benefits of being in a free society. We've enjoyed all this prosperity and abundance. Are we really responsible for keeping it? If America falls during our lifetime, it will be because we did not fulfill our God-given duty to pray. We pay our taxes because we'll go to jail if we don't. The effects of not praying may not immediately appear, but boy, they do appear. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Father, we ask you for your help today. We started a series last week, Lord, on prayer. And I believe you visited us here while we had the message. And I know from my own life it made a difference this week. I was more encouraged, more inspired to pray. And Lord, that's the point of this series. We pray you'd get your poker out and you'd poke around in our ashes and cause a little flame. And maybe add a little fresh fuel to our fire. And if it isn't said of anybody else, may it be said of us, we were a praying people. We took our position up. We manned our gap. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we consider the subject of prayer, I think it's only fair to ask the question, if God is sovereign, why in the world do we need to pray? If God can do whatever he wants to do, go ahead and do it. He certainly doesn't need my permission. Won't God just do whatever he wants to do anyway? Throughout Scripture, we find these self-imposed limits God places on himself and on his creation. He created time itself. as a limit. They say there's no time. Anytime. I have no idea how that's going to work. But God places limits. The sun rules the day. The moon rules the night. He told the oceans they could only go so far. I've always mused about the seasons. We're going through seasonal change right now. It's beginning to get cooler, although today we'll have an 89-degree high, they say. It's going to be quite hot this afternoon. I say, woohoo, I need some more heat before the snow flies and all of that. But what if there weren't seasons? What if it was just a hodgepodge? Any given day could be anything. You know, today could be an 89-degree high, and tomorrow we could get 3 feet of snow. And then on Tuesday, a monsoon type of a rain. Wouldn't that be really be something? But God created life. Yeah. People who don't know God, they can't see the hand of God. I see the hand of God in everything. In everything. Just the fact that the seasons are so faithful that we are able to grow crops, that we are able to live and breathe and do all these things is the kindness of God. The stars follow his prescribed pattern so constant that ships can chart their course thereby. When Jesus came, it was God in the flesh. He emptied himself of his divinity, the Bible says. He limited himself. How hard would that be? To limit yourself, having the power. There you are in the express lane, and there's five people in front of you, and time seems to be present. Ooh, if you had the power, what would you do to that person, the third one from the one that's writing a check and has 49 items in the 13 or less? He limited himself to at our pace, and to go through the situation. The earth was created with people in mind, a home for us. We were created with the world in mind. We are the managers of the planet and all of its creatures. God created people and gave us the assignment of ruling over planet Earth. We are responsible. God has chosen to rule over his creatures through us. It is his order, it is his decree, and it still stands. That's why Satan, in order to get a foothold in this world, he didn't have to mess with God. He could mess with the managers, those that were given authority. We were given power of attorney, as it were. We could sign in God's name because he gave us authority here on the planet. Have you ever had it so that somebody you're linked to made a decision that, you wouldn't have made that decision, but it's affecting you? It may have cost you something. It may have cost you something very dearly, and that was the case at the beginning there in the garden. Satan could get in by getting in through the managers. He corrupted the managers, introduced sin into the equation, along with it death. However, our God-given authority, our God-given purpose still stands. It's frustrating for a Pentecostal preacher not to be able to raise his voice when he wants to emphasize something. Maybe I'll just go like this one. I want to emphasize today, and you'll get the point there. It still stands that we are the managers of the planet. When we make poor decisions, the environment suffers. When we make good decisions, it recovers. We've been put in charge. How many remember the old ad with the Indian, the tear on his cheek? It left quite an impression, didn't it? Now, I like to talk about the good old days as the sweet things that were part of life. How, we go downtown, windows rolled down in the car, keys hanging in the ignition, go in the store. Nobody would bother with this. They could walk down the middle of New Kensington at midnight. You would have been fine. And on I go about the good old days. But there were some things that weren't all that great. There was a day when the average person in America driving down the highway, you were done with your lunch. You threw the bag out the window. Now, said, oh, no, not us. And yeah, just about every farm, if not every household, had a little garbage pit out back. And you just kind of threw stuff there or burned what would burn and then just pile up the trash. The old mattress was back there. The old stove was back there. Archaeologists have had a field day looking through some of the things that were just, we didn't, you know, before garbage pickup, but even after garbage pickup, a lot of people just got used to throwing it outside. I remember when we'd first come, I was out hunting one day and I came upon one of those burn piles. And there was this beautiful antique syrup can. And I took it home to Barb. It was King Syrup. And, you know, we had all these different tins and so on that were lined up. And I was in the living room, and I heard this boom. And I ran upstairs to see what that was. Here, Barb had pried the lid off that thing. And something about, I guess, it having been burned in the fire had created a vacuum or something. The lid blew off. She had black soot all over her. But the greatest part of all was, here we go to the store that week, and here on the shelves are all these tins of the same kind of syrup, you know, just all, I thought it was an antique or whatever. She could have killed me for that. But that was us. We'd throw stuff out. And then they started with this campaign saying, hey, you know what? Look around. We're trashing the planet. And so we started to get a little conscious about that. And it began to show. It's a shame that the world had to show us the way in that, but it's the way that we were. We throw our trash out, and then we're looking at trash all the time everywhere we go. The highways are much cleaner today than they were back in the 60s. And now we even have people who will, and if somebody does throw their trash out the window, we all think, you know, we could lynch them. This is terrible. That's disgusting. How could people ever live like that? But we were pouring raw sewage out into the waterways. And I know we all complain about the EPA and the DER and all the regulations that go on and so on. But we have been beneficiaries of those things. Animals we've condemned become extinct or nearly extinct, and those we value have thrived. I come from Pittsburgh. The air quality, the rivers have changed dramatically over my lifetime. Psalm 115, 16 says, the highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to man. The highest heavens belong to, but the earth he has given to man. A lot of times we just think God should do something about it. I love that, the song, is it Matt Redman that sings it? I said, why don't you do something? He said, I did, I created you. And we are part of the problem a lot of times, and we can be part of many different solutions. Genesis 2:15 says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. That word translated care is to guard or protect. Here, now, you take care of this. You cultivate it. You make sure that it is protected. God made us in his image, then placed us here to manage the planet. Isn't that cool? He kind of, you know, dressed us up in his uniform and said, now you are my managers. We represent him to his creation. And in order to accomplish that task, he made us in his image, in his likeness. Genesis 1:27 says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. This Hebrew word for image is tselem in the Hebrew, and it involves the concept of a shadow, a phantom, or an illusion. An illusion is something you think you're seeing, but your eyes are tricking you, they're deceiving you. Have you ever seen somebody that looks so much like somebody you know that you can't help but stare, saying, that's not them. Boy, it sure looks like them. Are you sure that's not them? It happened to me the other day. No lie, you fellow look like Bob Flickinger. How many Bob Flickingers are there in the world, you know? And I'm looking at the guy, and I'm kind of staring, and oh, that's not Bob. But you feel compelled to go over and talk to him. And maybe you've even done that. You know, you've said, you know, hey, you just feel like he's your friend or something because of the way he looks. We were made in God's image to represent him on the planet so that his creation would see something familiar in us and respond to that in kind. Animals that were meant to fear us or have a respect for us. That's kind of gotten turned around with the sin and all that has come in. God created us in his image so that nature would have to do a double take when it sees us. And no, that's a representative of the Creator. And now we become afraid of a lot of the creatures that are supposed to be afraid of us. Case in point, the dreaded mouse. All 4 ounces of it. Beep, beep, ah! Terrified of the cute little thing with the buggy eyes and the little tail. We're afraid of so many things that are smaller than us, bugs included. God was recognized in us so that we could adequately represent him to his creation. We carried his authority to do his will in this place. And that all worked fine until Adam made a wrong choice. For all have sinned, and what happened? Fall short of the glory of God. We carried that glory. We carried that authority. We carried it well for a while. But then it became tainted and we fell short of the glory of God. But 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. So sin came along and marred the glory. But Christ came in and he's restoring in us the glory of God. None of us are perfected. None of us walk perfectly in that. But how many could say, thank God it is being restored in me. I'm not the person I used to be. He's recreating in me a good thing. He's working on my anger problem. He's working on my thought life. He's helping me to love where I used to hate. And we are being transformed back into his glory. Christ in us restores what sin marred. I have a friend that restores old paintings, and it's really quite a fascinating process. And I was asking him about, well, you know, how do they? He said, well, really, the first thing they do is clean the painting. They have certain chemicals, they have to be very careful as to what materials were used, but really, most of restoration is cleaning. It says it's amazing what a good cleaning will do for a painting. It will bring out the colors. It will bring about the nuances and so on. You will discover a lot that you couldn't see there originally when it is cleaned. It becomes, and then you begin the work of matching colors and restoring what might need to be refurbished. But first of all is that sweet cleaning that goes on. We have been washed. And now he's working to bring out the details of his original design in us. You've been what? You've been forgiven. Hallelujah. That does so much. But he's continuing to work now to bring out the detail of why he created you, the gifts that he has given to you. That's why when you come to Christ, your life really lights up. You find out why you were created. You find out what your purpose is. And he begins to develop in you talents you never knew you had. Some of them you flat out denied. Oh, no, that's just not me. I can't do this. I can't do that. And when you walk with Christ, you'll so often find he will call you to do things that, you know, are, I don't know if the word repulsive is right or whatever, but that just wasn't you before. But he's calling out of you what was always in there. And he's making you into what you were created for. We've been washed, and now he's working to bring out the details. And one of the benefits of that, not only do we benefit, we're brighter than we used to be. We've been washed. We are stronger than we used to be because he strengthened those gifts in us. But we are more useful in the kingdom of God because of that. We bless not only ourselves, we bless our families, then we bless the culture that we're in, the society that we're in. We're to shine, we're to bring that to bear, fulfilling that responsibility he's given us for the earth, for our community. And as that process continues, we take up the ancient call to represent him here. That's why the Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. It's always been here. We've always had this ability. He just told us we had it. It's not that he created that when he wrote 2 Chronicles 7:14. He said, let me clue you in on this. From the very beginning, I gave you power and authority. You have the ability to take this thing wherever you want it to go. If you want to neglect that authority, if you just want to go along with the world, well, that's the way it's going to go. But if my people will humble themselves and pray, if you will get tuned back into the purpose from the beginning, I'll hop right on that. I'll be right in this with you. And my authority will flow through you. You can pollute this world or you can clean this world up. You can damage this world. Or you can become a healing agent into this world. Again, Psalm 115, 16. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to man. A lot of times when we step back and we're just expecting God to do, or we're asking it, he's empowering us. Lord, I can't do this. Duh. You're here and he has placed you. He has confidence that you can. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And if we cannot do it in our own power, hallelujah, get back down on your knees and seek his face. And he will do what no other power can do. He can move heaven and earth. It's the mama bear responding to the cry of her cubs. The mothership coming to the rescue of one of her drones. It's father responding to the cry of his children. Why would Jesus teach us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, if we didn't have a part to play in this? We are responsible. We are a link between the will of God and what takes place on earth. Just about every Bible story we could tell illustrates the difference between when somebody obeys God and when somebody disobeys God. When somebody obeys God, woohoo! Giants fall and kingdoms are built and strength comes. But when we decide to disobey, kingdoms fall and people suffer and everything gets dark. What will we do in our generation? Oh, we're so busy, aren't we? We're just way too busy today with all the goings on. And then when we have a moment free time, we busy ourselves. Put little games on our phones and different entertainments, 240 channels on your cable system just so you could keep flip, 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 because one program can't keep us occupied enough. We need several things going on. And now the younger generation can have the cell phone, the computer, and the television all going at once while you're trying to talk to them and communicate. And we're just so busy, 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 busy. Be still and know that I am God. We are neglecting the most powerful, valuable communicative tool that there is, prayer. We are anesthetizing our spirits with busyness rather than beginning with God. Take the time. Learn how. Break your addictions to busyness and what was the word there? Hurry sickness. We have a hurry sickness. I know I do. I'm in a hurry when I'm not doing anything. My wife will tell you, it drives the poor girl nuts. Make me stand in a store for 10 minutes while she looks at two different items. I become unglued. It's just hurry sickness. And I'm thinking, I gotta. Well, actually, there's nothing I have to do right now. But I would do something other than this. Yeah. And when we get to prayer, that we get that hurry sickness. I should be doing something. You are doing something right now. Well, I and many thoughts assail us and so on. You can get past that breaker out into the ocean, or you can just get to those waves and then head back to shore all the time. We need to learn how to pray. We need to learn how to take the time. We need to get into the habit and be about God's business or the earth. Think about this. The earth is going to suffer. Our nation is going to crumble if we do not man the walls as we should. God has limited himself to working through humans when it comes to the affairs of this earth. That's why things have gotten so messed up. How many know God didn't mess them up? No. We have made poor decisions. We have done things that are terrible, and we've done it over and over again. The power of government has been given to take care of people. That's clear in Scripture. God ordained governments to bless people and care for them. But governments have gotten it backwards, and governments have been served by the people and messed things up. Politics themselves, my heart. Just when you think it can't get any worse, somebody is arrested for some other atrocious thing that they have taken advantage of in the name of governing. The ability to maintain order and renew resources has been ignored to increase profits. Strength to protect and maintain has been abused to abuse and serve self rather than to bless and to help. How sick it is that many people who have been put in authority over children have misused that to abuse that place. It is sickening. You need to step it up. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind into ever-increasing glory. Man your spot on the planet in prayer, bringing the will of God to bear on the earth. There are far too many holes in the breaches. People are not showing up. It can't just be a missionary or a pastor or an evangelist who does the praying. We have to pray. Had a neighbor share with me a statistic the other day. She said she had just heard they did a survey of pastors. How much prayer do you think the average pastor in America does? How much time spent in prayer every day? Any guesses? The survey showed 4 minutes. 4 minutes a day. How long? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray to the Lord and soul keep. That's got to be good for 30 seconds right there. Rub-a-dub-dub, thank God for the grub. That's about, a 5 or 7 one. Or the more spiritual one, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, he who's fastest gets the most. 4 minutes a day from the clergy. The job's not getting done is what I'm telling you. Each of us has to approach it as if nobody else on the planet is praying. Nobody else is going to do this. I need to. I need to get with God. I need to talk things over with. I need to represent God to the planet, and I need to represent the planet to God. I need to intercede, which we'll be talking about in days to come. The enemy is rushing in like a flood as God's people stand by wondering why God isn't responding. Man your station, Get on your face before God. Pray biblical prayers. Speak against the forces of darkness. Ask God to pour out His Spirit on us. Wouldn't it be terrible to find out that we could have had revival if only you had joined the prayer effort? You mean, if I'd have really gotten serious with God, this wouldn't have been going on in my marriage, or that wouldn't have happened with my kids or the next generation, what have you. We are responsible for our own irresponsibility. Not like that we're planning not to be responsible. We just get all these other thoughts in our head and plans, and we don't pay attention to what we're doing. If you really ordered your day according to what you say you believe, what would your day look like? Would you stand with me this morning?